Deuteronomy chapter 20, and we're going to pick up at verse number 19. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 19, the Bible says, Lord says, when thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. Father, thank you for your word, and please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us this morning. We pray, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Brethren, we're going to take this morning, and we're going to probably this week and next week be looking at these two verses, because there's two totally different aspects of things that I believe the Lord would have us to look at in these two verses. We're going to look at a certain aspect this morning, and Lord willing, another aspect of these verses next week. What I want to look at this morning is this first part where it says, when thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it. So what kind of city would that be? Because we saw two types of cities they would war against. Well, this would be a city that refused to come to terms of peace. Go back up to verse 10. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 20, verse 10. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace to it, unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, and then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. So those are the cities. Look, the cities of the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, they were not to make peace with them. They weren't even to offer them peace. They were to destroy them. They dwelt in the land that God had given to Israel, and Israel was to destroy them. But let's say the cities of the Ammonites or the Moabites or the Syrians, it's those cities. If they had to go to war against them, one of their cities, they would proclaim peace to it. If they made peace terms with them, they became tributaries to them. If they didn't, all the males would be destroyed, and they took the women and the children captives, and they spoiled the city. Or they took the spoil of it. All right? Listen. Again, this would be a city that refused to come to terms of peace. Now, remember what we said? There's some enemies. There are some. Our enemies are spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Okay? As believers, we don't have physical enemies. We have spiritual enemies. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's who, when we're born again, we fight against.
Amen.
See, if you're lost, you're under the power of those forces.
Yep.
They have you. You are under the power of the prince of darkness, and he has you. If you're saved, you've been set free. And that's who our enemy is. All right? But we don't make terms with that enemy. Now, that ought to be common sense. But I told you last week, Brother Ken McDonald told me, because he was here when I preached this, Brother McDonald told me of a church that they were in, and that pastor had gone out to the edge of the city near the railroad tracks and had said to the devil that if you'll stay on that side of the tracks, we'll stay on this side. Brethren, you don't do that. You don't converse with the devil. You don't make deals with him. You don't say, look, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Because first of all, he won't.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He won't. Jesus said he's a liar and the father of it. You don't cut no deals with the devil. You don't talk to the devil. You understand? You don't talk about him other than the holy sense of speaking as far as the word of God. Tell you something, brethren. And you would think somebody would understand that. But brethren, I'm not talking about that he just went and lightly did that, because that would have been foolish just to lightly do it. No, seriously, he went and did it. He went and did that. Brethren, now that's sad. You don't do that. You don't say, now, devil, if you leave me alone, what? You don't come to terms with him. Listen, he threw the gauntlet down when you got saved. He's declared war against you, and you better declare war back. Not give any and take none. You understand? Don't give a quarter, don't take no quarter. You understand that? You're in war. And you don't got, listen, you think he would honor any truce terms with what? Jesus said he's a liar and the father of it. You don't do that. You don't even extend any kind of terms. I thought that was a given. You know what, brethren? I almost felt silly when I preached that, but I knew the Lord wanted me to. But I was like, but Lord, that's obvious. Anybody knows that? Well, I guess they don't. And that shows where we're at today. That's where we are at with things today. But okay. But those cities that were not of the ones that God said, you just destroy them. Those cities you offered peace to. All right? There's some enemies we don't offer peace to. But there's some enemies we do offer peace to in the sense of enemies of the gospel. Okay? Go take your Bible, go to Romans 11. Brother, look here. Did you know what? If you go into the nation of Israel right now, our nation should support them, look after them. They're people of God. But they don't want the gospel there. They don't want the gospel there. There are other countries. They don't want the gospel. They're enemies of the gospel. But you know what? We still need to offer peace terms in Jesus Christ to them. To the individuals there. We offer the peace terms of Jesus Christ. Romans 11 verse 28. Romans 11, 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Brethren, there are people that are against the gospel. And they're going to do anything they can to keep from the gospel being spread. Well, what do? You pray for them and you use spiritual armament against them. If they use physical armor against you, woe to them. You use spiritual armor against them. Do you understand? You use spiritual armor. The Catholic Church and Islam, they use physical armor to spread their faith. That's not how we're to spread the faith, the true faith of Christ. Even if physical armament is used against us, we use spiritual armament. Brethren, the Bible speaks of enemies of the cross. But there are people out there that they need to be delivered. And you know, we offer peace terms to. What if there's somebody you love and you care about and you're burdened about and you offer the peace terms of Jesus Christ to them? You offer them as an ambassador of heaven. You offer them peace terms with God, reconciliation through Jesus Christ, and they don't want it. Now I want to tell you something. If somebody tells you they don't want the gospel, then guess what? You don't keep giving it to them. Because all you're going to do is make them madder. They said they don't want it, but there's something you can do. There's some things you can do, all right? You know what you do? Look at what did the Bible say? What did the Bible say that the Israel was to do when they came to a city and they wouldn't make terms with them? They wouldn't make peace terms. They didn't want peace. You besieged it. You besieged it and you went to battle for it. You know what? If somebody tells you, I don't want nothing to do with Jesus, I don't want nothing to do with the gospel, okay, then unless God really tells you to bring it up again, the best thing to do is like, okay, fine. But you can pray for them. You need to besiege them. You need to besiege them with your prayers. I knew a lady one time when I first started pastoring. She had got saved, right? And her husband didn't want anything to do with the gospel. And here's the thing. He was telling her, get them tracts out of my house. But what he wouldn't tell her was he was reading them. He told me this after he got saved. He says, I told her, get him out of my house. But he was reading them. He said she would leave him. And he said she didn't know it, but I was reading them. And he said, I was laying there at night with my head turning from each side of the pillow going, I got to get this out of my mind. I got to go to sleep. And the Lord was on that boy's trail. In fact, let me tell you just real quick. We had a little incident that happened. At that time, we were meeting in an apartment complex community room. And I got ready for Wednesday night service, went to flick the lights on, and nothing came on. Lights didn't work. I was like, oh, man. So I said, everybody just go to the house while I have church in our living room. Because we were small, very small at that time. And I got over there, and as I'm closing up, she is running out of my house and running to her car. Well, you know, what through his mind is, oh, great, somebody offended her. There's not a lot of us in there. Who could have offended her? You know, over the years, you learn that, let me tell you, saints can offend anybody. And in no time flat. So I was thinking like, well, what could have happened? And I got in there and they said, we just got a phone call. Now listen, nobody had cell phones then. Nobody had cell phones. We just had landlines, right? They said, well, she just got a phone call. Her husband called. He's in the emergency room. His appendix is about to rupture. They're having to do surgery, right? And I was like, wow, wow. So I got ready to pray to open the services, and it hit me. if we had been over at that community room, nobody could have got a hold of her. Nobody had cell phones, and there was no phone over there. So I was like, wow, Lord, what a blessing. When I went to visit him in the hospital, you know the first thing he told me on the hospital bed? I'm pretty lucky about that phone, wouldn't I? And I said, no, sir. His name was Joe. I said, no, Joe, no, you weren't lucky. That was God. So I got to visit him, his home afterwards, right? And he said, the Bible is myth, fairy tale, and fiction. Just like Santa Claus, just like all that, the Bible's just a bunch of myths. Now, brother, I'm not saying you're always supposed to handle things this way, but I knew God told me to handle it this way this time. I said, Joe, you're a hypocrite. I said, well, first I said, have you ever read the Bible all the way through? No. I said, don't talk to me. I don't hear you. Right. Right. I said, you're a hypocrite. I don't hear nothing you got to say. You're going to sit and you're going to judge that book and tell me what a lie it is. Right. It's like the same. I said, you ain't even read it through. Don't talk to me. I ain't going to hear you. And I walked out. He said, what happened? He got mad. He told me later. I didn't find this out later, right? Because about 2 or 3 weeks later, he comes into church Wednesday night. And he don't look the same. His clothes are the same, but in his eyes, he don't look the same. I was like, something's happened. And he said, can I talk to the church? I said, sure. And he gave his testimony. He got mad. When I left the house, he got mad. And he said, I'm going to prove the Bible wrong. He said, I went to the bookstore. I brought any book I could that would help me prove the Bible wrong. And I was reading them. And I was doing whatever I could to prove the Bible wrong. He said, finally, in my living room floor, I fell down on my knees and gave up and said, God, save me. Christ. He said, I called upon the Lord Jesus to save me. He said, I couldn't prove it wrong. He said, and he stood in the chair. He said, I'm a Bible believer now. It's a blessing. But listen, here's the point I'm making out there, y'all. Look here. Look. He didn't want it. He didn't want it. But he was reading in tracks. You know what? A lot of times somebody may tell you, I don't want it. All right? You might not be able to talk to him. Leave something around for him to read. Leave something around for him to read. You can always besiege him with prayer. He said get them tracks out, but he was reading them. And it was getting to him. It was getting through to him. It was getting there. Brethren, prayer and the armor of God and obedience to God are what's needed. If you offer somebody peace terms with God through Christ and they don't want it, don't give up. Just change your tactics. Besiege them with prayer. Put tracks around them. I'm not saying you can't talk to them again. Just make sure it's God. Make sure God gives you an open door. What I want to preach to you about this morning is how to take a city. How to take a city. Go back to Deuteronomy 20. How to take a city. And what I mean by that, really I'm looking at it as looking at each man as a city. I guess you could apply it to winning a city for Christ. I guess you could do that. But I'm looking at it as an individual. Looking at each man as a city. How do you take a city? Well, the first thing they were supposed to do was offer terms of peace. They were to offer terms of peace. Go to Acts 10. Hold your hand in Deuteronomy 20 and go to Acts 10. Acts 10, verse 36. Man, make peace terms. Offer them peace terms. Acts 10, verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. All right. You know how you offer peace terms to people? Preach Christ to them. Witness Christ to them. Teach of Christ to them. Offer them Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only peace terms God will accept. Receiving Christ, Christ Jesus and His blood sacrifice on our behalf are the only terms God will accept. The only terms. And you offer that to men. Well, what do you do if they say, I don't want it, or say no? You got to besiege them. You got to surround them. Look what it said. Deuteronomy 20, 19. Verse 12. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. Verse 20. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time. All right. Notice this. If they won't accept it, you besiege it. You surround it. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. Some of you, Brad, you and Stephen, you remember way back when we had doing in Bible studies, when you're little. Do you remember, I don't know if you do, do you remember at the end of Alexander Circle, at the very end of the road, right there to the left, there was a house and somebody lived there, had a little big girl, a little boy. Y'all remember? She had blonde hair and her brother, you remember that? Okay. Her daddy, I went to go visit them and talk to him about the Lord. He claimed to be saved, but he knew he was not living right. He knew he was not right with God. He said, I know I'm not right with God. So I said, I'm not right with God, right? He had used to go around witnessing to folks, telling about the Lord, but he admitted he wasn't right with God. I'd visit him, talk to him some. I went over one time to visit, and he said, he was sitting in his chair, almost shaking. He said, I know what you're doing. Stop praying for me. He said, stop praying. I said, you can't stop me from praying for you. You can stop me from talking to you. You can stop me from coming to your house. You can't stop me from praying. He goes, stop. His life started falling apart. That man's life started falling apart. He said, stop praying for me. Stop. Well, you can't do that. You can't stop that. You can't do that. All right? You stop talking to somebody, they don't want it. So what happened? I don't know. Moved. I don't know if it's because of that. I don't know what, but they moved out of the area. They moved out of the area, and it's sad. But brethren, look here. Something was having an effect. Something. Maybe his kids hearing truth and bringing it. Something was having an effect. Brethren, look here. If somebody don't want truth, whether they're saved and need to get saved or lost and need to get saved or saved and need to get right, besiege them with prayer when you can't do anything else. Surround them. Surround them by prayer. Listen, Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. And look real quick at verse 14. There was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now you take a city, you surround it and you make works, bulwarks against it. Go to Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37. Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah 37, look at verse 33. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. You know what you do to break down a city you've besieged, or a town, or whatever? You build bulwarks against it. You either build a big fort near it, or you put a big ramp of earth up against it, or here's what the Romans would do. They would go into their turtle formation. They called it the tortoise, but United. Well, they had these long rectangular shields, right? Well, they were so designed that Roman soldier could flip it over his head, and the guy next to him flips over his head, and the guy next to him flips it over his head, and they get them together side by side, and they would go up, and nothing could hurt them. Because they would throw rocks down on them, they would shoot arrows down on them, but they called it the tortoise formation. Now, when they poured boiling oil, that was a little bit different. Because the oil would come down through the cracks, and that could be a little bit, but at least it didn't fall directly on them. But that's what they would do, because they besieged it, and now they're trying to take it. All right? And the Lord said the children of Israel were to besiege a city. You see, a siege can starve a city into submission. Go to 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6. Because listen, when you besiege a city, guess what? Nobody's getting out. And nobody's coming in. And what that means is no food's coming in. See, what you do is when you besiege a city, you build forts around it. You build forts. That way, you're protected. You can make a raid into it. But that allows you to see what's going on. Nobody can get out and go for help. You got them. You'll see them. And nobody can come in. You got them. And it'll starve it into submission. Take your Bible. 2 Kings 6 verse 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. That's how bad it got. People was paying a fortune just to eat an ass's head. And if they could get dove dung, you know, just the poop of a dove. Because what it would have in it would be seeds and berries. And they were like, at least it's something. And they would go, people were paying money to eat the dung of a dove. That's how bad it got. And it got so bad they were eating their children. And you know what God had said? God had warned them, if you don't do right, if you follow other gods, the enemy will come in and it'll get so bad you will eat your children. I mean, no, I'll never. They did it. They did. Let me tell you something. If you got any sense, don't you ever make a statement, I'd never do this or that. You don't know what you do. Right. You've been in this situation, you know what you do. It's fine to say, God, I hope I wouldn't do this or I hope I wouldn't do that. Oh, God, I hope I would never. That's fine. But you don't know what you do. You better walk humbly with God, live for Him, do right. You don't know how bad of a mess you can get into. What I'm telling you is a siege can starve a city into submission. Let me say this to you. As much as you can, keep away things that feed and strengthen resistance. Now look, if you've besieged someone and they're not a member of your family, well, there's not a whole lot you can do about that. You cannot keep wrong and ungodly things from coming into their home. You might go to jail for that. That's not your place. You can't do that. But I want to tell you something. If you're a parent and you're trying to pray for your children, you can keep out of that home things that feed rebellion and resistance to truth. Amen. You can keep out things that feed it. And you need to. If there's anything that's being allowed in computer-wise, reading-wise, anything that feeds rebellion, anything that feeds resistance, get it out. See, one of the things you do in a siege, you control what's coming into that place. And you're trying to starve it into submission. When somebody's spirit is strong and resistant, you want to weaken them. And that means you got to keep out. So you know what I'm saying? Listen, if a child's in a home and they're being resistant to truth, you don't let them have the music they want to listen to. You don't listen to rebellious rock and roll. You don't listen to those. That just feeds that resistance against truth. So that's one of the things as you besiege that you can do. I'll tell you this. You might have a situation in a work environment that you can't do nothing about while people listen to. But if you are ever in a situation in your cubicle or your office that you can control it, then you better. And if you want somebody to get a chance to have the gospel, you got to control and starve out anything that's feeding resistance or rebellion. All right? Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Brethren, and I hope this will be a blessing to you in the sense of we get discouraged at times. Somebody told you, I don't want to do with it. It's like, well, what else can I do? You can besiege them by prayer. You can pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. If you can, keep out away from them anything that's feeding that rebellious or resistant spirit there. Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 52. And he shall besiege thee in all thy high gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Notice about them walls coming down. Those walls coming down. Go to Ezekiel 4. So you got to bring the walls down. Haven't you ever dealt with anybody and man, they got walls of resistance? It's all kind of stuff. Man, let me tell you something. My parents, they drug me to church. And I tell you what, I ain't happening again. Or somebody's had a bad experience in church. Man, I went to church and I got done this way. So they got a bad experience. I mean, there's all kind of walls people put up. Man, Christians, nothing but hypocrites. I ain't got. Sadly, we're in a situation today. There's multitudes of folks who have been to church and been molested. You can understand how that would mess somebody up. Who don't want anything to do with church when some professing Christian has done some ungodly thing to him? Man, there's walls you got to batter down. Brethren, don't listen. It would be nice if we go out and put the truth to folks and then zip, zop, they got saved. But brethren, there is resistance and there are walls that need to come down. And sometimes that means you got to lay siege to it. It's a long drawn out affair. You got to put the armor of God on. It's going to take a little bit. It's going to take a little bit. I wished it was just to where we could just go and say, here it is, read the track, everything's good to go. Tracks are just a part of it. I'm not saying people don't get saved. Of course they get saved reading the track. I'm saying tracks are just part of what goes in. Wish you could just witness to somebody and they got saved, but it don't always happen like that. It happens with some of these false hyper soul winners, but that's not the real deal. We're talking about, brother, when somebody's got walls up, you can get them to say something, you want that heart. You want it real. And man, some people got some defenses up. You've met them. Men are like, don't come to me with that. Let me tell you what church did for me and mine. Let me tell you about, and they'll lay it on you. Well, child will hear it. They'll tell you that stuff. And they've got walls up. They got to come down. Ezekiel 4. Yeah. My aunt, she said she was a Christian. Let me tell you what she did. My uncle, hey, Mr. Christian, he's at church all the time. You know what he did to me as a little girl? Come on, y'all. That's hard. It's a wall. It's a hard wall. And let me tell you something. Well, look, I'll show you. Ezekiel 4, look at verse 2. And lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mound against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. You know why they called it a battering ram? Because it used to be, they would make the head of it like a ram. You know, a ram will hit something. Brethren, when somebody's got a wall of defense, and they're saying, you know what happened to me? Let me tell you what happened to me. I don't hear nothing. You're going to have to hammer away. And it ain't going to give right off. And you're going to have to hammer again. You have to hammer again at it. As long as they'll give you the opportunity. Boom. 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 And you know what you're going to feel like at times? I ain't getting nowhere. I ain't making no progress. I am getting nowhere. That's why, listen, that's why if you ever got a chance to hammer stones with a mallet, or split wood with an axe and a mallet, it teaches some things. I'm serious. I've gleaned so much. I can remember, again, my daddy'd have that wood pile out there, and that was my job, split that wood, right? And I'd have a big old piece of oak, and boy, I'd put that wedge in there, and y'all, I mean, it was either a knot or if it was a little wet, it would suck in that wedge like a nail. And it wouldn't go nowhere. I've seen times I've hit that wedge. You ever hit a wedge and it pop out? And hit a wedge and it pop. And I hit that thing. And it was time for supper. Boy, I'm not going in. It'd be snow on the ground. Sweating. I'm not going in. You're going to split. And I would hit it. And it wouldn't go nowhere. Nothing. It's like it ain't doing nothing. And all of a sudden I'd hit it. And way down that wood I'd hear. Pop. Now nothing changed. But I heard way in that wood. Pop. And I thought, you just said uncle. You just said uncle. Your days are numbered and you know it. Because that next one, pow, it's done. You couldn't hardly hear it. Pow! And you knew, battle's over, bud. It's just a matter of time now. You're done. Now, here's the thing. As a young person, I thought, wow, all them blows. Finally, one mattered. No, they all mattered. Yeah. Brethren, I was weaker toward the end than I was starting out. You know what I'm saying? Toward the end, it's like that sledgehammer was just falling on it. No, and so it ain't like I had my most strength. Oh, I had probably my less. Every blow was telling for effect. I just didn't see it. It was so minuscule. It was so unobservable, I couldn't tell it. But every blow had effect. I just couldn't see it. And finally I heard that pop. And I knew who was going to town now. Listen, y'all, as you're hammering away, giving folks truth, the devil's going to tell you, he's going to mock you, he's going to laugh at you. You ain't doing no good. You're wearing yourself out. But I'd beat that wood and I'd be so tired. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'd be so tired. I'd be to where I like, man, I'm about to break daddy's sledgehammer handle, right? Because I'd miss it. So now I'm just tired. But I was like, you are going to split. I'm not going in. You're going to split. And I'd hit it. I think I'm getting nowhere. Later on, I realized I was getting somewhere every time. I just couldn't tell it. And finally, boy, we was going to the house. Listen, break down them walls by hammering away with truth. Keep hammering. Every blow tells, though you can't see it. And you think, but I ain't got no strength left. I didn't either. But it will still have an effect. I didn't either. I'm tired. I was too. Mama said supper's on. But I thought, no. Keep plugging away. Don't quit. Because one day you're going to see, you're going to hear something let you know, hey. It's having more effect than I realized. You say, well, Brother Doss, what do you do when a door can't be opened? and you're trying to hammer away, but the door can't be. What do you have any other options? Yes, you do. When a door can't be opened, you can hammer away, but there's other things you can do. Take your Bible to Proverbs 21. Other ways to take a city. Proverbs 21. By the way, y'all, when you're witnessing somebody, don't let them get you off. If you're hammering something or trying to beat something down, don't you have to keep hitting the same spot? What good does it do if you miss? You got to hit the same spot. Somebody tries to get you off. You know, well, people believe, hey, get them back around their sin. Get them back around their sin. Get them back around to them. Get them back around to them. Get them back around them. Yeah, well, there are all kinds of people out there. We ain't talking about all kinds of people, honey. We're talking about you. You. Well, what about people that's never heard? We ain't talking about them. You are hearing. Always get, man, always get that sweet spot, buddy, and don't, because you know what the enemy is going to try to whisper to them to get you off track, to get to where your blows fall here, or your blows fall here, or your blows fall here, or your blows fall here. Man, so when you're dealing with people, center in, get a hold of something, and don't let it go. Don't let it go. Hammer on about where they're at, their sin, their relationship with God. Man, just get in there and stay on it. But there's another way, too. Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21, I want you to look at verse 22. Proverbs 21, verse 22. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoa. So there's another way too. You know what a wise man does? He says, I'm going to get to the top where they're shooting arrows down at me or trying to pull oil down at me or trying to, I'm going to get to the confidence of that city lies right up there at the top, where they're throwing oil down or shooting arrows down or throwing rocks down. I want to get up there and I'm going to destroy the confidence of it up there. I got to scale this thing and take care of it there, and then we can get in. Brother Doss, what are you talking about? Well, there's a matter of hammering away at a certain point about their sin, not letting them get off of it. But then there's also the thing, brethren, look here, of reasoning and getting a hold of that mind, finding out what's the strength of their confidence. What are they trusting in? What are they resting on? Man, you got to go and bring that down. You got to find out. Some things you hammer away on, you can't let go. But you got to scale that thing, the mind there, and find out what is the strength of their confidence. What are they trusting in? What are they resting on? What's their confidence in that they think they're going to be okay with? And you got to bring it down. Take your Bible. Go to Acts 12. I don't know. Maybe their confidence is, I'm young. I got plenty of years. I have time for this later. Man, you gotta bring that down, bud. You gotta show them life is short. Things happen. You know what I mean? Maybe they're trusting in, you know, that they're just a good church member, or their mama was saved. Find what their confidence is. And bring it down. Find where their confidence, the strength of their confidence, and bring it down. Acts 17. Made my two look like a seven look like a two. Acts 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed. Some of them. You think Paul went out and saw conversions all over the place and all these? Huh? He said some of them believed. And consorted with Paul and Silas, and the devout Greeks a great multitude, and the chief women not a few. But not everybody did. But what did he do? He reasoned with them. He reasoned with them. Go to Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Go down to verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Go to Acts 24. And verse 25. Acts 24, 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee, which, you know, he never found. What I'm telling you, brethren, is find out who, what, or where their confidence is in and cast it down. Find a sweet spot, bud. Find out where the thing and hammer away at it. Find, again, their sin, where they are. Don't let them get you, man, hammer away. Don't stop. But then also scale that city. What's the strength of their confidence? What is it they're counting on? Is it they got plenty of time? Is it their grandma was lived for God? Is it they think they're, whatever. Find out what their confidence is. And by the word of God, bring it down. Show them the folly of it. And then you get into the heart of that city. Look here. Understand this, brethren. Well, let me say, how do you cast down? How do you cast down? By the power of God. Go to 2 Chronicles 25. If you're going to take that city, if you're going to have any hope of hopefully bringing that person to Christ, and it's ultimately going to be their choice, but if you're going to have any hope of breaking down the defenses they've got, you got to operate in the power of God. 2 Chronicles 25 said casting down, the strength, casting down. 2 Chronicles 25, look at verse 8. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. God has the power to help you break down the defenses of that person you're trying to help come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's got power to help you bring their defenses down. You've got to depend upon Him. You've got to do your part. Hammer away, scale that city, cast down the strength of the confidence. But to cast it down, you need God. You got to walk with Him. You need His power, His strength, His might. God has power to help and to cast down. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Brethren, I wish it could be one and done. I wish it could be a one-shot wonder. I wish it could be one and done and everything. Wouldn't that be great? And that's what's happened. The men of the latest sin age got lazy and didn't want to do the work and didn't want to put the toll and the effort and the time taken and the disappointment. So what they said is, we'll come up with our own little plans and we'll do it our way and we'll get professions. And professions they got, but without regeneration. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. See, they're not carnal, but they're still mighty. They're mighty. You guys, you know something? Every born-again person in this room that's got a burden and wants to try to reach somebody for Christ, you got some mighty weapons. Mighty. You've got some mighty weaponry. But it's not carnal, though. But they're mighty through God. To the what? Pulling down of strongholds. Pull them down. Like Proverbs 21, scale the city of the mighty, cast down the strength of the confidence thereof. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That applies to us and ourselves, but there's an application also that can be made to letting God work through you. Let His Spirit direct you. What's their strength? What's their confidence? What are they hiding behind? What's their defense? And bring it down. Bring it down. God will give you the wisdom and the power and the direction needed to do so. Go back to Deuteronomy 20. I'm just about finished up, but there's something else I want you to notice here. Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 20. And look at verse 19 one more time. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time. A long time. It may take a while. And at the end of the day, they still might not accept. But at least you've done all. Here's what you want to be able to do. You want to at least have reduced that city to where any of its resistance is rubble. And they have no more excuses to where they're left with saying, fine, you got all the answers. I see what you. How about this? I just don't want it. Okay. Okay. I'm still going to pray for you. But I see where you're at. Do you understand, folks? Brethren, your deal is taking down the defenses, taking down the strongholds, taking down those walls to where they ain't got nothing left to hide behind. To where finally they are left with either accept Christ or without any excuse, I just flat out, no! one with the other. You understand, brethren? That's your task. It's good if we could win that city, but you may not. They might just say, no, no. But you want to reduce to rubble every bit of defense and everything they're thrown up against so they've got nothing left, or they've got to at least finally say, I don't want it. Pray for them. You can still pray for them. I think I'd pray for somebody till they do that last breath. But look here. What we got to do is besiege them with that prayer. Break those walls down. Cast down the strength of the confidence thereof. Do our part to do all we can to bring that city to a place that they'll come to peace terms. Or they'll yield to the Lord. But it may take a long time. It may take a long time. All right? Real quick, rather, to go to 2 Kings 17. Just a couple more verses and I'm done. But 2 Kings 17. The results and the effect may not be as quick as we would always like. Second Kings 17. Did you know that some of us in this room, the very reason we're alive right now, somebody prayed for us that we're not even aware of? Somebody stood in the gap and prayed for us and we weren't even, I'm telling you, that may be the very reason some of us are left alive to this day and had a chance to get saved and come to the Lord. Somebody was getting a hold of God for us. Seriously, that's the truth. And you know what? It may be somebody that only knew you for a day or two that crossed your path and God just would not keep you off their minds. Look here, 2 Kings 17 and verse number 5. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. Wow. 3 years he besieged that place. Take you go to Jeremiah 52. Jeremiah 52. Jeremiah 52. Jeremiah 52, verse 4. Jeremiah 52 and verse 4. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month and the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem and pitched against it and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged under the 11th year of King Zedekiah. They started in his ninth year. Finally got it in the 11th year. That's about almost 2 years. You see, it may take a while sometimes. And that still's no guarantee that they're going to say yes to Jesus. But at least you can pull down the defenses. At least they've got nothing to hide behind no more. At least they haven't got any more excuses. At least you've made it plain. You've helped them to see. You've destroyed any argument they might try to. At least you've done that part. Now to where it's bare, plain, and there it is. You're either going to say yes or you're not. So brethren, look here. You know, Lord willing, next week there's another part of this I'd like to look at. But right here this morning, I just want to say to you, if you've offered peace terms to somebody, you've let them know, hey, you know what? I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador for Christ. Christ died for your sins. He can reconcile you to God. They don't want it. They don't accept peace terms. Well, okay, it's time to take it by siege. Surround it. Prayer. Put on the armor of God. Man, hammer away at that. Don't let them get you distracted. Find out what their confidence is. Cast it down to the ground by the power of God to where that city is, and their defenses are in rubble. And now it's up to them what they're going to do. If they yield, praise God. If they don't, well, you can keep praying for them. But at least you've made the good fight. You fought the good fight. You've made the good effort. You do what you can. And again, sometimes, brethren, it may take a little bit. And again, I want you to remember that, look, as the enemy tries to discourage you, as he tries to discourage you, and get you to think you're not having any effect. I promise you, I cannot tell you. Some of you, I'm sure, have done something similar. I cannot tell you how many times I have hit a wedge in a piece of wood. And I was out there and the sweat was pouring off me. And I got so tired I couldn't even hardly. And I thought, you're going to go. And I thought, man. And then finally, again, younger, I thought, wow. But then I realized, wait a minute, I'm weaker than I was to start with. I'm expended. Every blow is having an effect. If one of my friends had been up on a hill on my daddy's hill watching me and said, "You ain't doing no good. Why don't you go on in? That's ridiculous. You just about to write that thing off. That wedge, you're stuck in there until the thing rots. What are you doing?" If they'd tried to get me discouraged, and I could have just said, "Yeah, I guess so. Let's go play. Let's go do something." No, it would need to be split. And that thing wasn't splitting, and I was determined that it was going to split. And I kept going, and I kept going. And sure enough, and I'm just telling y'all, the enemy will try to tell you, you are having no effect. It's all useless. You're just expending all your energy for nothing. It's nothing. Every blow counts. Stonemasons know the very same thing. I read up a guy one time watching stonemason, and he said, hammering and hammering, and all of a sudden the rock split. He said, some people would think, wow, all them wasted blows and finally one that counted. And he goes, no, the stonemason knows every blow counted. Every blow counted. It just after that was just that final one was all that was needed, but every one counted. Don't get discouraged. It might not turn out like you want, but every blow tells. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us to understand these things. Lord, help it to be an encouragement to us. Father, help us to keep battering away, hammering away as needed. Help us to besiege by prayer. Help us to go in your power and your armament. Lord, help us to scale the city of the mighty. Find out what the strength of their confidence is and cast it down by your power. Father, at least we can do all we can, Lord, to bring those walls down. And then it's up to the individual. But may we be able to say that we've tried to do all we can. And Lord, help us to not be weary. Help us to realize, Lord, that your word even speaks of that siege being made for a long time. Help us, Lord. And Father, I pray, if there's anybody in here today that has never turned to you, Father, that's never come to you through Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that they would be willing to acknowledge their self-will, sin, and rebellion towards you and accept the payment for their sins that you have made, Father, through the blood sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask this in the Lord Jesus' name and please for his sake. Amen.